morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 28 to 44. It is a very familiar passage for those of you who have had Easter as part of your tradition. After Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one's ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why are you untying it, say the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, and he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." For the past 5 weeks during this season of Lent, we've been walking together, following Jesus as he walked into the lives of people, declaring and demonstrating God's amazing love for them. He met them where they lived, and we've heard him challenge us to do the same, to leave the comfort of our cloistered lives and meet people where they live as we share life with them every single day. Today we again see Jesus taking a walk, or this time taking a ride, leading a parade surrounded by people in whom he's invested so much as he's moving forward to what was to come next, the last days of his life. So again, as we seek to follow Christ's call, let's leave the safety of the sanctuary. Let's take a walk. As today's scripture unfolds, we see that we're witnesses to a parade. Jesus is entering this holy city of Jerusalem, surrounded by the celebration of the crowd. And why not? Everybody loves a parade. And parades exciting, and a parade is exhilarating, and parades lift us out of the ordinary, at least for a while, to get away from business as usual. But what makes a parade a parade? It usually has at its center either a cause to celebrate, you know, something to remember, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas, Easter, Independence Day, Veterans Day, in a small town, homecoming, different things that are causes to remember and celebrate, or a person who is the focus of the celebration, the person of the hour, a hero, or an important personage, someone who has achieved extraordinary things. In years past, New York City would throw ticker tape parades for those people who achieved amazing things. Amelia Earhart, Charles Lindbergh, the early astronauts of the space program, John Glenn, Scott Carpenter, Gus Grissom, Neil Armstrong, and the entire crew, Apollo 11. And then there are parades that are surrounding the hometown boy or girl made good. Used to live near Corydon, Indiana, and they had the popcorn festival, because Cousin Willie's popcorn was there, and it was this big deal. And they had Ken Kercheval. Anybody know Ken Kercheval? An actor who was famous for being on Dallas. Now I know how old you are. Well, he came out of Corydon. He was a boy who made good, and he got to ride in that Grand Marshal spot. So we have those hometown boys and girls who made good as well. Well, in today's parade that we're talking about here, Jesus was that person they were celebrating. The crowd shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, some parades are meticulously planned down to the very last detail, from who will be invited to participate and where they will be placed in the parade order. There's instructions on what your float should be made of and how big it can be, and no bigger. There are details about the exact time that each entry will pass the cameras or the reviewers' stand. There are professionally designed eye-catching placards that promote the event over and over all along the route. Other parades are just the opposite. They aren't well-planned. They're spontaneous. Parades that we could see yesterday on the TV and those that we couldn't, when athletes would hit the last buzzer beater in the ball games, or coaches were being lifted by their own players and put on the shoulders of adoring fans. Parades of the moment. Nearby props would be used for their purposes in celebrating. Not yesterday, I didn't see any, but you see it outside all the time when football players win. We see these big tubs of Gatorade. I'm not sure that I would love to be a coach at that moment. Poured over the heads in celebration. Well, that's a standard thing now, and it's planned, but when it first happened, it wasn't. It was a moment, taking what was available. Well, for this parade that we're talking about here with Jesus at the center, there were those who, in this impromptu, spontaneous kind of celebration, they didn't have placards to hang. They didn't have bunting that made it all look official. There were no marching bands to trumpet his coming. They grabbed the coats of working-class people and put them on the ground or waved them in the air. They stripped off branches from the palm trees that lined the road. These were like a find at hand to whoop and to wave as their voices joined in the chorus of celebration of the moment. And all parades that are worth their salt cause problems. Barricades and detours, people blocking streets and sidewalks and trampling the grass, causing headaches for those whose job it is to keep the peace. It won't be long before we'll start seeing those signs all along 116th saying that 116th will be closed on the day of our Freedom Festival parade. Plan accordingly. I mean, if you're not going to be part of it, everybody in the world wants to be part of that parade, but if you're not for some reason, figure out how to get around town instead of going through. Every parade causes problems for those who are charged with keeping the peace. And this parade here that we're talking about today did too. The crowds pushed in and blocked the road down the Mount of Olives, shouting and disturbing the peace. The Pharisees, religious officials, at least in their own minds, scolded Jesus. "Teacher, tell your crowd to be quiet, to disperse. You're causing a scene." But he wouldn't. Said he couldn't. He said if they were silent, the very stones would cry out, because it was time. But time for what? And Jesus wasn't this well-known hero, this general, this person with any kind of this person who has any kind of credibility with the organized church or government. He didn't have letters behind his name to prove that he was intellectual. He didn't have keys to the city, any city. He didn't have any travel stamps in his visa to exotic destinations. He wasn't who you would think would be there that day. So what was it time for? It wasn't even what the people were hoping for. In their desperation to be free of the suffocating foreign occupation of Rome, they were awaiting a conquering hero, a military Messiah, who would come and right the wrongs and vanquish their foes and push Rome out of Israel. That's what they'd ordered. That's what they'd wanted. That's not what they got. What they got was a Savior who came to offer himself as a sacrifice. Jesus came as one who wouldn't ride in on a military war horse, but the colt of a donkey. A service animal, a humble beast of burden. One who came to save them from what really held them captive and robbed them of their freedom. And the crowd who was there that day at this parade misunderstood what was going on. How do we know that? Because these voices that were shouting out hosannas to the king on this Sunday that we call Palm Sunday, in this entry that we call triumphal, these same voices joined the chorus on Friday with those in the streets of the city of Jerusalem saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar. He's not what we expected." And because they misunderstood, Jesus wept. He didn't weep for fear of what was coming on Friday, although he must have known that. The second parade of pain this time. He didn't weep because he was a pawn being forced by some religious or governmental body to go unwillingly to the slaughter. He wept because he knew what could have been theirs. Their healing, their freedom, their salvation. If only they'd opened their eyes and their ears and their hearts, but they didn't. He wept, but still he rode on, because that's why he had come. He'd come not to fulfill their expectations, not to please them and give them what they wanted, but to bring them what they needed. The Savior whose sacrifice would set them free. What was it they needed? Not a temporary relief from a political bully. We have those in every generation in different spots around the globe and always will. What they needed was the destruction of that which blocked their relationship with God. That in their brokenness, in turning away from God, in the covenants God created, in their unfaithfulness to God, they were no longer acceptable and could not be in relationship. Jesus came to be that one who would sacrifice himself to take the guilt of their sins that they might be acceptable, forgiven, made new, restored to God. Oh, yeah, and that goes for us too. It wasn't just for them. They needed someone to take the burden of our own brokenness upon himself, to set us free from that, to make us acceptable, forgiven, made new. So picture all this in this parade. I would ask you, where do we fit? Where do we fit in? If you were there that day, what would you have seen and what would you have understood? Would we have understood better than they? They seemed to miss it, and Jesus wept. Some of us think we understand. We've heard the story and pictured the parade time and time again. We've reenacted it. We've waved palm fronds. some of us every year. Because this is one of those things in the church year that we never miss. We always talk about this. And I can tell you there have been more half-hearted parades I've been a part of waving palm fronds in a church service when I didn't feel the Spirit than I want to admit. The problem, though, with knowing the story so well is that we risk, because we've seen it so often, not seeing it at all. If we don't see it, don't understand it, we don't know what God was doing for us in that experience. You see, the parade on that hill that day wasn't for Jesus. Oh, he was the focus of the excitement. But he didn't do it for himself. The parade was for us. It was for you. It was for me. For every time that I feel alone and small and afraid in the world, this parade was for me. For every time you feel overwhelmed because the struggle you're going through seems like there'll never be an end to it, this parade was for you. For every time we live below our means, forgetting that we are God's daughters and sons, forgiven, made whole, in relationship with the one who loves us, and forgetting that we reach out and we wound someone because of our own woundedness, or we grab for straws because of our insecurities. This parade was for us. If only we'll understand that God's purpose was for us. To feel his embrace, we can begin to understand that this sadly tragic and comic at the same time scene really was triumphant. Not because it was triumphant in the moment in itself, but because it led to the next parade and the next. The second parade on Friday, the parade of pain and shame and death. The parade that ended on a Roman cross for Jesus, a cross of execution, and that Friday afternoon as he took upon himself the guilt of our sin. And then the last parade, the best parade, the one that came on that Sunday morning in the pre-dawn hours. It began at an empty tomb. Jesus' resurrection as he shattered the power of death for you and for me. As we sing next Sunday about resurrection, his resurrection, because he lives, so too shall we. That final parade as we celebrate Easter Sunday morning started differently than every other parade because it was different in every way. The parade you and I are used to start in full view of everybody else and start in at the highest moment. I mean, the excitement is full, everything is ready, the band strikes, and you're there. And from that point on, that parade moves on toward its winding down. To the last entry passes, and you get the broom and bucket brigade, you know, sweeping up whatever's left behind. This parade was different than when we celebrate next week. It didn't begin with all the crowd in full view. It began with one, the one who was resurrected, with no one to see. And then he invited Mary to join him in the parade. And then invited the disciples to join them in the parade, and invited the others who had followed him along the way to join, to come into the parade as well. And they did, and the parade grew. And as they did, they shared with the folks around them and invited them to come into the parade too. And that parade has continued to grow. Generation after generation place after place, until he comes here, even here, now. And as he comes, he invites us to join the parade. As he comes, he passes by and breaks our chains of guilt and fear and loneliness and pain. And he bids us to get up from our place on the curb, leaving our lawn chairs and our blankets and our coolers behind, and our crutches and our guilts and our fears, and to join in the parade. And as we do, if we do, when we do, our lives are changed. And we can invite others to join us. He bids us to come. What will we do? Let me invite you. Let's take a walk and join his parade.